So, we're going to look at questions today. I really feel that from time to time in everybody's life as a believer that this one nagging thought, for lack of a better term, pops into our mind. And it's about, what do you do when you don't know what to do? And I think that hits us from time to time, no matter if you've been saved a day, a week, 20 years. I think through the process of life that situations, circumstances kind of come our way. And the idea of what do you do when you don't know what to do, to me it kind of ranks up there with to be or not to be, right? Is that Shakespeare? You know, that's about all I know about that sort of stuff. Anyway, I thought I'd interject that just to show I did read a little bit in the school. But there's going to be silent spots. There's silent spots that you and I have to deal with in our walk with God. You know, and they come from time to time. I don't know why. You know, sometimes it's God-initiated to want to test us a little bit, to help us to grow. Sometimes I believe it's a demonic attack, and that's usually what most of it is. But to me, it's kind of like a wilderness experience. You know, as the children of Israel, as they had to travel, when they went from Egypt to the Promised Land, it was supposed to be a direct shot. But how many know it didn't turn out that way? It wasn't a direct shot, was it? They got in doubt and unbelief, didn't trust how big their God was. They looked how big the giants were. They figured the giants were bigger than their God, and they got afraid. So they spent 40 years in a circling pattern, you know, waiting till that generation died, till they could go in and start to experience everything God had for them. And as we go through these silent times ourselves, you know, I think two things can happen. Hopefully the first thing, it's a growth opportunity. Opportunity to grow. And those are exciting times. Sometimes they're hard. But also, the drawback of that is it's a time that we can experience a setback spiritually. And what the difference is between those two opportunities is our response becomes our responsibility. And that's how it works. How we respond in life to the things that come our way is a revealer. And that's all good. Don't get sad or scared or mad when things come your way. That's kind of hard. And maybe we stumble. It happens. Get back up. Keep on going. Amen? Don't run from God. Run to God. And that's what I've found out in my life. When I make mistakes, and I've made a few, a lot, that I just keep on going to God. You know, even in those times of silence. Scripture I felt the Lord laid on my heart is 1 Peter, and it's verses in chapter 1, it's verses 6 to 8. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, that was a good one, wasn't it? A little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found and result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Let's pray. Father God, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your word, that transforming power that is able to take the hammer to break the rock. Lord, we come against hardness now, right now, in Jesus' name in our life. We thank you, Lord, that we want to deal with the spirit of fear, that uncertainty in life, that we maybe not know what is to come. But Lord, we know that when we're in your will, we're in your care, and that you care so much for us. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory, Lord. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So what I see from this passage, which I just want to interject, is the idea that faith is more important than gold to you and to me as a Christian. Most of us would prefer gold, right? Because gold is a commodity that you can use in this world. But faith, on the other hand, is a commodity that we can use in the kingdom of God. And that's something that we need to understand and to be able to grab a hold of. That we want, when we want to walk away, I guess, or not be so consumed by the things of this world and be able to tap into the things of the Spirit, then we're going to have to use faith. Also, it mentioned here the idea that we don't see Him now. And most of us have never seen Jesus Christ personally. Maybe seen Him in a dream or a vision. But primarily, if you see Jesus face to face, you're not here right now. Amen? You know, you're in heaven. And that's all good. You've won the victory. So, that's a little bit about that. So, how do we deal with those silent spots? That's what I wanted to encourage us about today. Because you're going to go through them. And like I said, our response is our responsibility. And what we do during those times of testing and trials kind of depict just exactly how we're going to grow as a Christian or if we're going to have a setback. You know, setbacks happen. You know, sometimes, you know, you may have to do something over. If you take a class in college and you don't pass, guess what? You get to pay again. You get to take it over again. And that's all good. But in the things of God, you know, we don't technically have to pay money, right? But we do pay a little bit because we're not where we need to be. But that's all good. We can learn from our failures if we're smart. Amen? And if we're really smart, we learn from other people's failures, right? You know, if you pay attention to how everybody messed up, I'm not going to do that one, right? You know, how many, maybe I've seen somebody get shocked before, and I get shocked all the time. You know, as an electrician, I consider it kind of therapy. I need therapy every now and then. So I every now and then I get a little touch, and that's all good. But I've seen some people that are really scared of it. Knocks them down, you know, and they learn from that. They don't do it again, as a rule. Yeah. But if you're an electrician, every now and then, you're going to run into something like that. So the scripture here talks about temporary. And that's what I want us to hold on to. Trials are temporary. We think they're forever. When we're in a situation and things isn't really going our way, and the enemy comes in like a flood, and the trial just seems like it's going on, you know, it can seem like it's an eternity, but it's really not. And as you get older, you understand that, you know, when you go through problems, they're usually not forever. They're only for a season, right? I mean, we're old enough to know most of us have experienced that when maybe some attacks come or maybe things don't go quite our way, that it's not forever. It's just for now. But see, the problem is when we're living just for now and we're not living forever, it's going to make us make a bad decision. Because we're going to base everything on by what we feel instead of by what we know. And I do know it's only temporary. So if we can remember that, that's a key to help us to get through those silent spots that you and I are going to face from time to time. And it's okay. We're going to face them. Like I said, some of them maybe are self-inflicted or maybe from the devil. Sometimes, you know, God, if God tells us what to do, you know, and maybe we're supposed to be doing something, I guess he doesn't consider he has to repeat himself. Amen? Right? So he's just expecting us to follow on. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes when we go through that, then we wonder about some things. And that scripture talks about how God loves us. We need to go into that. We're going to look at that a little bit. So the first point I want to see is when it's silent. When it's silent is do the basics. And that's just an easy thing that we need to do. We need to trust and to grow during that time of silence. Because it's okay. Those silent times are going to be there when you don't know what to do. So, what are the basics? You know, as we understand, you know, the idea a little bit about the basics, what happens is when we keep doing what we know to be doing as a Christian, there's certain things that we get into the flow of, right? As a believer, some things that we know that are, I don't want to say it in the wrong way, but somewhat expected of us. Things that, a process that we go through in our daily ritual, shall we say, or our weekly rituals, and hopefully this is not once a month ritual, amen, you know, attending church and things like that, but, you know, the idea of getting into the rhythm and a flow of following God and flowing with God, and as we do that, Even during the silent times, we're going to stay into that flow of that river, and we're going to keep on moving and keep going towards God instead of, you know, maybe pulling back. So it's a lifestyle. And when Christianity becomes a way of life rather than something that we do, we're going to walk in consistent victory. That's just going to happen because it's a process. And I like to look at it as a process of elimination. As we go through the process of growing in Christ and being able to understand the things of God and how God's system works, because God's system is a system based on faith. It's not a system that's based on sight. You know, as we start to go through that process and we start to grow and, you know, things happen. And what I found out in my life, there's sometimes as we go through the process that, you know, maybe we don't see the fruit that we want. You know, we're fruit inspectors, aren't we? You know, how many squeeze stuff at the grocery store a little bit to make sure it's all right? Well, everybody does, right? You know, I want to check out that guacamole or something like that to make sure it's going to ripen in time for the tacos, or, you know, that's our big thing. We got to get good guacamole. Nothing worse than avocado, I'm sorry. I call it guacamole. I'm looking at the end process, not just the start, right? What we do with the avocado. But as you do that, and, you know, on the other hand, you don't want a soft apple, do you? I don't. I like a crisp apple. So you're fruit inspecting. So we fruit inspect ourselves, and we shouldn't fruit inspect other people, and that's a given, right? You know, we won't even go with that topic today, but, you know, we kind of check ourselves out. But what we fail to realize is sometimes when we don't see the fruit in our life, something's going on. Now, I'm going on the persuasion that we're still flowing with God, and we're still doing what we need to do, but what I think during that time's happened is our roots are going a little deeper. They're spreading out a little bit. So a lot of our energy, a lot of our spiritual energy, shall we say, for lack of a better term, is going in depth. Now, you can't see your roots as a rule. And I encourage you not to dig them up, right? Have you ever planted a plant and you're really curious? How's that thing doing? Huh? I just wonder. So you dig up the roots, and what happens? You kill it, right? So you can't see your roots, you just got to trust. But as you start to know that you're rooting down and your foundation's getting broader, and the broader your foundation is, the more of the wind you're going to be able to stand in the tests of time, right? Right? You got a better foundation. You know, so that's what's happening during these silent times sometimes, I believe. Because as you hold on to God with faith, during that times of silence, your faith is growing. Because your trust is growing. And when your trust grows, you grow. And that's an example to others around you. Because we're all going to go through that stuff. And that's important that we start to experience some things. And what I found out, you know, it says here, you know, that you know that these things are just temporary. And, you know, we're going to have trials. I mean, to tell somebody, you know, when I got saved, you know, there's a few people going around spreading this lie and saying that, you know, all you got to do is become a Christian. You'll never have another problem. Hello? You know, it doesn't work like that, does it? The devil starts hating you worse because now you're really the enemy. First, he was mad at you, jealous because you're part of God's creation. Well, now you're part of God's army. So you do the math what's going to happen. Yeah, he's going to attack you. You're going to have trials. Trials do come. Tribulations do come from time to time. So what I found out that really helps me is, you know, you may call this faking it a little bit, but just don't let on like you're lost. Right? Just don't let on like you're lost. Stay joyful. What makes you think that you miss God? Right? We usually go to the worst case scenario. Right? It's silent. God's not really talking. I haven't really been feeling him. Now, granted, sometimes we can do some things wrong that kind of inhibit that, you know. But for the most part, I don't think that's the case. So why would we let on to the devil and everybody around? Because we know this thing's just temporary. Don't you think God's on your side? Right? God's on our side. God wants us to get to our destination. He wants us to get to the place he wants us to be in maturity and growth, because as you do that, you know, you're going to be a greater asset to the kingdom. So you just got to get it in your head that, yeah, God's on my side. God is not against me. And when we get to that place in our walk and our love relationship with God, it changes the whole dynamic. We stop looking at our failures and we start looking at our possibilities. The possibilities that God has placed inside of us. And they were put there the day that we're born again. So we just need to stay joyful. Now, joy is, like I mentioned before, is different than being happy. You know, we live in a happy culture. Everybody wants to be happy. You know, I used to run in the 70s, man. I remember the circle yellow smiley face. I mean, I think that's when it came out. You know, be happy. You know, but life isn't about being happy all the time. Because circumstances sometimes can take our happiness away. But I do know this, that circumstances can never take our joy away. If our joy comes from God, because it cannot take our God away, right? So if we learn the secret of being able to walk in joy when everybody else is around us is panicking and all stressed out and things are just falling apart in this world, we can still walk in confidence and peace and joy in God. And see, that's one of the things that we learn. So our joy doesn't depend on it. Now, one practical thing we can do, what I found out, is when I go through the silent times and I start to feel a little anxious about it, you know, turn off the boob tube and turn on YouTube. What I mean by that is type in some, and you can listen to some good worship music. Type in, you say, I don't know what good songs to listen to. Type in best worship songs of 2017. A whole big list will come up. Hit play. That's all you got to do. Hit play. Granted, there's going to be some goofy commercials from time to time, unless I think there's a way you can pay for commercial free. I've never checked that out yet. But you just let that worship song start to play. And you start to get into the idea of worship, and you start to enhance that relationship again and get into that place. And see, that's just a practical way. Do what you know to do. Worship is an atmosphere that keeps darkness away. So that's just something we do. Now, back when I got saved, we didn't have YouTube. You know, we had to, you know, hope a good song came on the radio or get a good CD or, yeah, I was saved in the CD age. I don't know. Yeah, no, I had cassettes. Yeah, I was saved back at the cassette age. And you know something I did? I used to bootleg a bunch of heathen music. You know, some of that, I mean, I'm talking intense stuff. And, you know, my way of doing it is I erased it and I recorded Christian music over them cassettes. You know, I started listening to Christian music a little bit. And that helped me. Because music's like a medicine, you know, it helps us get into the presence of God. So, you know, that's one of the things that we do what we know to do. Now, another thing is point two is do what you were doing. Now, this is one that a lot of people fail on. Is because what happens is that when we're doing something for God, and then all of a sudden we go through a trial. So then, like I said before, we think we get out of God's will or we go through that silent times. So what happens is a lot of people just quit. They pull back. You know, but that's the worst thing we can do. You know, the best thing we can do is just keep doing. And how that works out is just stay involved. You know, because what happens is if we pull back and we start to stop doing things for God, and doing exactly what we were supposed to be doing. Maybe we was involved in something for God. Maybe you were teaching, ushering, you know, helping out, whatever the case may be. And then you're going through a trial. So what happens is when you do that, you get inward focused. And when you get inward focused, then you start to pull away. And you start to be all by yourself. And when you do that, then what happens is you're easy prey for the devil. He's going to come in and mess with your mind. He's going to come in and lie to you and tell you a bunch of stuff that's not true. And it's going to pull you away. So what you do is if God told you to be involved in something, I'm just going to give you an example. You know, I used to do a lot of street evangelism right when I got saved. And in the process of time, I started to be the leader of street evangelism at the church I was in. And we would go out to the streets and we'd tell people about Jesus. And we'd usually go to an area that, you know, pretty rough area part of Denver. You know, and there's drug addicts and, you know, the prostitutes and different odds and ends going on around there. And we was out there and the police was out there. And I remember one time I was handing somebody a track and at the same time a policeman slapped the cuffs on him. I didn't notice the cop was trying to arrest him at the time. He didn't have a policeman uniform on. He was undercover, you know, I don't know what was going on there. But I says, bummer, you got there first, you know, but I'm still going to give him those papers. Is that okay? And he said, sure. So I gave him a track about Jesus. But, you know, so going out and doing that, but in the process, maybe, you know, if I went through a trial, you know, I could say, well, I don't want to go back out there. You know, God must not be in this now. Because, you know, I'm under attack and I'm doing God's will. So maybe I need to change. Maybe I need to do something different. Maybe I need to quit or pull back. And I learned that that's not the answer, because when you pull back, the only thing I know is I trust God's going to give us the information. God wants us in His will. So if God has given us information, until we get new information, we keep doing that, however long it takes. And as you do that, you're going to find success through the silent years. Or not years, I'm sorry. The silent years is something else in the Bible. I'm sorry. It's a time from Malachi to Matthew. Because it's not years that God's silent with us anymore. You know, as a Christian. As a slip of the tongue. So we need to understand now. I look at, you know, Paul as an example. Now Paul, he was a bit radical. He preached. He went in hard places. He experienced a lot of attacks. He was out winning people to Christ, planting churches, all the while being stoned with stones, beaten with rods, you know, just hungry from time to time, all in God's will. And I remember the story that Paul wanted to go to Rome for whatever reason, you know. Why he wanted to go to where Nero was is beyond me, but that's what he felt God wanted to do. And there was a prophecy saying, you're going to go to Rome, but when you go there, you're going to be bound up, da-da-da. Anyway, he ended up going there, and he was in kind of arrested, and he was in God's will, yes, being arrested, and he was going to Rome. And they got on a boat. Well, they got on the boat, and guess what? The boat wrecked. Went down. You know, he could have said, man, I really thought God wanted me to go to Rome. Well, he had two options. Sink or swim, right? Sink or swim. What are you going to do? See, when you're out there and the enemy's attacking you, you have that choice. You can sink, you can give up, you can throw in the towel. You can say, I don't want this no more. Or you can swim. He swam, grabbed a piece of wood, made it to shore. Whew. Wow. Didn't die there. Then a poisonous snake bit him. You know, all the people thought this guy must be one bad motor scooter, you know. Here he survived the shipwreck, made it to land. Now a poisonous snake bit him. He never died. Shook the snake off in the fire. You know, you just can't keep a good man down. Amen. He was in God's will. Yes, things were going wrong, and things will go wrong when we're in God's will. Attacks will come. People will get mad at us. You know, stuff happens. But what are you going to do? Are you going to sink or are you going to swim? Are you going to give up or are you going to keep on going? Now, lastly, is dealing with doubt. And this is the one that a practical thing that you and I have to deal is doubt. And there's two ways that we doubt. We doubt God and we doubt ourselves. First one, we doubt God because when these things happen, you know, I remember, you know, times in my early walk with God, you know, that things would happen to me. And I remember one time I was at my shop and the boss would let us change our oil there. I'd only been saved a couple years. I mean, I was a green Christian. I mean, I'd learned a lot fast because I was in Bible school, so I was growing really fast. But I remember that it was slick that day and I just changed my oil and was a little slant there going out. And so when I hit the brakes, didn't stop. Scooted right out into the road. Bam! Truck hit me. You know what the first thing out of my mouth was? No, it wasn't a cuss word. I know you were thinking that. God, why did you let this happen to me? I go, whoa. Where'd that come from? Why would I doubt my God? Why would I doubt my Father? Why would I think that God got behind my truck and pushed me out into the road? You know? Why would I blame God for something that I had done? And that made me think that I was doubting God. And see, that's what happens when trials and tribulations come sometimes is that we get to the place where we doubt God. We doubt that He loves us or He cares. And then when that happens, when that little seed of doubt gets put on our mind, well, then it can be kind of scary. And, you know, that's why we need to stay positive. You know, some people are really dramatic. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I have Facebook. I watch some of your posts. No, I'm just kidding. You know, the idea of when something bad happens, the first thing they go to is, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, they start quoting that scripture. Instead of the devil's a liar and Jesus is Lord, amen? You know? So, you know, we got to get over the idea of blaming God, you know? What I found out in my life is that, you know, God knows if we can handle it. He just wants us to know if we know we can handle it. And that's what He's trying to get us to get to. God wants us to know if we can handle it or not. Life comes our way really fast. And as we grow, then we start to know that we start to do that. And as we do it, because I'll be honest, the training wheels have to come off sometimes. Right? You know, how many would like to have a 14-year-old kid with training wheels on their bike riding out in front of your house? I don't know about you, but I'd feel like a failure as a parent. You know what I mean? You know, 14-year-old kid out there training wheels. And you're out there, you know, got you and your wife's on each side. Oh, come on, be careful. Oh, we don't want you to fall. Oh, we're so worried about you. Right? That'd be wrong. So wrong in many ways. You know, but the training wheels have to come off in our life, in our walk with God. And then what happens is that, you know, what I found is that trust God, and He's going to give you a sign in the wilderness, in that dark place He's going to give you. Now, the next thing that we do is we start to doubt self, and I can see how that happens because we live with ourselves, right? We know that sometimes, you know, what we're like. But what I found is doubt comes into our life when we stop trusting, God, and that we start trusting in ourselves because we know that we fall short. So when we take our trust out of God and we start trusting our own abilities is when we get into trouble. And we know that Satan tries to get in there and he tries to break the communication tie that we have with God. And if he can get in there and sever that communication tie where we feel that God's mad at us or God doesn't love us, and we start to entertain that thought and we let that thought keep growing and festering, then all of a sudden we get to the place, you know, that we really don't think that we can hear from God anymore. But see, God's a loving Father. He knows He wants to speak to us. And how we do that is we just stay connected with other believers. We need to, you know, stay connected to church and be involved and get involved with other people. So that when we go through these times, they can help us through. Because isolation is the devil's playground. You know, when we allow ourselves to get isolated or hanging with people that drag us down back into the mire, you know what I mean? And there's some people that will do that. You know, that, you know, they don't want us happy. They know that you're happy when you serve God, but they're not happy because they don't want to serve God. So they don't want you happy, so they're going to drag you back. So we need to stay away from those situations and stay connected with people that's going to build us up. People that really care, that want success in your life. And as we go through all these things, we don't like to hear it. And, you know, there's been a lot of spiritual illustrations about it. You know, like our walk with God's like climbing a mountain. You've heard this one maybe. If not, you're going to hear it right now. You know, I've climbed a little bit of mountains in my day when I lived in Denver. And what you'll do is you can climb. Sometimes the climbing gets hard, but, you know, there's those plateaus. And when you hit a plateau, oh, it's a good spot to catch your breath, right? How many know going straight up really be exhausting? Just exhausting, you know, no matter what kind of shape you're in. But then you hit that plateau. Well, the mountain's still there, and you hear you're on this nice spot, and it's kind of level. It's really comfortable here. You could pitch a tent, man. Good spot to stop. Or keep going. Keep climbing. So you can leave the comfort of here to go to the uncertainty of there, but up there is more of God, right? So then we keep climbing. Well, then you hit another plateau. And see, what I found in life is some Christians, don't want to keep going, and, you know, my goal as a pastor is to kick you off the plateau, upward, not downward, amen, not off the cliff, but to try to get you to keep climbing, because there's more of God up there. Keep climbing. Don't give up. Don't settle for where you're at now, knowing that God has more for you. Because as you do that, you know, you're going to get past the situations and circumstances that come in your life, and you're going to understand that, you know, the old wise saying, this too shall pass. Amen? And then we just keep on following God, and hopefully we can lead others along the path with us. Amen? Let's bow in prayer.